Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Joshua 3, verses 1 through 3, 7 through 8, and 13 through 17. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come back to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away, at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bringing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on the ground, dry ground, in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review of the Sacrament of the Holy Baptism. Please read with me. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28:19. The epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord. We now make bold confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to have all the children come and join me up around the baptismal font this morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you this morning. So, have you guys ever looked, like after you've taken a bath, and have you looked in the bath water when you're done and kind of seen what that water looks like? What does it look like? Is it dirty?
No, it's clean.
Oh, okay.
It does make things clean.
Like
Katie.
Yeah, okay.
That's a girl that cleans. Okay.
Everybody's house. Okay. Somebody that's cleaning your bathtub to make it clean. But when we take a bath, okay, we're taking a bath because we're doing that to wash the dirt off of us, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We put on a towel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
We clean up stuff.
Yeah.
We have a new toilet.
Yeah, yeah. So when we take a bath and we wash all that dirt off of us. Now, can you guys imagine? Now, this is our baptismal font. You can go ahead and put your hands in there. Okay. It was in these waters. Okay, where God combine this water with his word, and he baptized you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you had that cross put upon your forehead and upon your hearts, and you were joined together with Christ then because of what he did for us on the cross, dying for your sins. Now, can you imagine, think about this water for a minute, okay?
Where are the ornaments?
They all got taken down yesterday. Yeah. Well, I know, because it was time to do that. So, yeah. So here we are, and we in the waters of baptism. Can you imagine how dirty this gets after a while? Especially with our sins. Can you imagine that? This water gets so dirty because in the waters of baptism, that's where Jesus cleansed you and washed away all of your sins. Isn't that awesome?
That is really awesome.
It is really awesome, yeah. And so, can you imagine then how dirty that water must get after a while? Do you think we keep this water around? Do we just leave that water sitting in there?
Yeah.
No, after a while we kind of turn it out, throw it away, because pour it out, because after a while with everybody putting their hands in there and things, it gets kind of dirty, doesn't it? Okay, but in those waters of baptism, that's where Jesus washed you from all of your sins, and he did that.
If we don't put our hands in the water, it gets clean.
Right. That's right. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, and let's thank him for our baptism this morning, all right? So pray with me. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. That in the waters of baptism, you washed away all of our sins. And because of your Son, dying on the cross,
for us,
we now have forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys. We continue with our hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I was about 4 years old, I grew up in Elkhart, Indiana, and about that time, they were starting to build there was a lot of housing developments popping up, which was typical, these suburbs that were coming up in the 60s and so. And my parents bought a new house, and we moved across town. It was a three-bedroom house for four kids. That was me and my two brothers and my sister, and of course, mom and dad. So me and my two brothers had to share a room together. My sister, of course, had a room to herself, but she was also the oldest, so that's just kind of how things went. So naturally, my brothers and I together we shared a lot of things, many things, to include baths. Yes, baths. We had one bathroom in this house after all, so I know some of you are thinking, where's he going with this? This is kind of gross. But we shared baths together. If I wasn't taking a bath with one of my brothers, we would take them in turn. And I remember more times than not, we were sharing bath water. And if we were taking them individually, that meant, guess what? I drew the short straw because I was the youngest, so I went into the waters the last because I was the youngest. And I know you're probably cringing about this. It's kind of disgusting, I guess. But I think about it. I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, I guess my parents were saving on some utility bills in a way, so I guess that was a good thing. Can you imagine in an even larger family doing that? And how, you know, child after child, and how dirty that water would become, right? Yuck. It's kind of gross. Now, can you imagine further? In the gospel reading for today, we see that John is here baptizing in the Jordan River. Now, Scripture really doesn't tell us how many were baptized that day, but it seems that John was keeping pretty busy. Many had gone down into the water. You can imagine this water is getting dirty after a while. Dirty from bodies going down in there, but dirty from the sins that were being washed away. And here comes Jesus to be baptized. Now John was baptizing unto repentance. When John sees Jesus, he reacts in a way that I think many of us could relate to if we had been there and we had been John. He says this, I should be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me? Jesus answers and he says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. Did Jesus need to be baptized? No, of course not. Jesus, being the perfect, sinless Son of God, did not need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But he goes into this murky, dirty water where many have already gone before him, and there he takes upon himself their sins. He takes upon himself your sins, my sins. You see, Jesus receives this baptism because he will be the sin bearer for us. He then takes those sins to his bloody cross and he dies for those sins there. This speaks to Jesus' humiliation, for here is the very Son of God, sinless, submitting and subordinating himself to his creation. This state of humility is what many refer to as the great reversal. Submission and humility to God his Father, to the law. For it's at the very core of the perfect Lamb being sent to die once for all for the sins of the world. Jesus enacted it and participated in the divine act of salvation. And how does he do this? By standing with sinners in these waters, taking the place of sinners, receiving this baptism that sinners receive. In his baptism, Jesus continues in the role of sin bearer for you and I. And this began when he first shed his blood at his circumcision and ended on the cross. Also, here Jesus consecrates these waters of baptism for us, for the sinless Son of Man is purifying these waters for you and me by removing the sin from them, the waters purified with his blood. So going into these waters here in the Jordan, he shows that he is taking our place. Right here before his ministry begins, he takes on what we deserve. And in doing so, he fulfills all righteousness. Dear saints, today, thanks be to God that he did this for you and for me. And if we follow Jesus in his ministry from this point to the cross, we're able to see very clearly that his entire ministry was about servanthood and humiliation. He reminds his disciples that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. This is not to say that in some way we can be humble enough and do a good work enough to save us. No. Jesus in his servanthood is already keeping the law that we can't, so he can give us his righteousness on the cross through his death and his resurrection. Let you and I ponder for a moment our sins and the gravity of our sins. It's a mess. Think about your waters of baptism, how dirty those waters became. For the only thing that we could bring here to these waters were our sins, all of them. And no matter what it is, no matter how awful they were or we think they are, Jesus took them away from us in this promise of forgiveness of sins. As we live out our days here in this world, our lives then are lives of baptism. For when we confess our sins, we know that he has forgiven us, and it drives us back to this great gift, because here in these waters, he drowned all of our sorrows, our sins, our griefs, the things that we could not bear, right there in those waters. Martin Luther says he became a sinner for us, taking upon himself the sins which he had not committed. Our baptism that we receive then, it connects us to this cross. We have the promise of forgiveness of sins through it. St. Paul tells us in Romans, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk newness of life. In these waters, dear saints, you have been made clean. Mud, the stains of your sins, my sins, they are no more. For he made satisfaction with the Father for you and me. We then have risen to new life because of what he has done and the promise that is connected to it. We've been joined with Christ, and all because he fulfilled all righteousness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.